This is Talking Travel, and today we're talking about Sri Lanka, Sal.
We are talking about Sri Lanka, and welcoming a more diverse country you won't find. I was really blown away. The warmth of the people, they're very genuine, helpful, nothing's too much trouble. It was just so delightful to be in a country like that where you never felt at risk, you never felt ill at ease. You were welcomed, and their traditional welcome, similar to when we hear the Nepalese and different other sort of sub-Indian nations saying, you know, namaste, and they have the prayer hands. Well, they do the same, have the prayer hands, but it's ayabawan, and it means long life, wishing you long life. And
lovely.
And that's how they greet automatically all the time. You know, you get on the plane, you walk into a shop, it's ayabawan. And it's just so lovely, and just the people are gentle, you know. It's just delightful. So it has a lot of names, as we probably know some of them. We now know it as Sri Lanka. But, of course, before that was Ceylon. But even further back, it was known as Ratnadipa, which can be translated into Island of Gems. And another name was Serendip, which is where we get serendipity from.
Really?
Yeah. And it was a word meaning an unexpected good fortune, because the island was supposed to be so beautiful that wonderful sights could be found wherever you looked. And it is. It's this will blow you away. I'm sure our listeners will be blown away. And some of them may know this already, but I didn't. It's about the same size as Tassie. So a tiny nation. Just off the coast of India.
So you could get around it, like, you know, just do a short trip and get around the whole country.
Oh, it takes you double the time, because it's all little narrow roads, because it's got 22 million people. Imagine that many people in Tasmania. That's our whole population nearly of our country.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's villages everywhere. So it's slow travelling. You're meandering. You're not rushing. It's not big expressways.
Mm. But you wouldn't want to be in a rush, would you?
Well, no. You can't be, and I think that's a good thing. Mm. You know, so it's a slowing down, you know, but you do cram a lot in, because there is a lot to see and do in such a small nation. You know, from lush rainforests to waterfalls to tea plantations to beaches to 8 UNESCO World Heritage sites to the biggest gathering of Asian elephants in the world.
Oh, I love elephants.
Oh, they were right beside us. I could have almost reached out and touched them, but they're wild, you know, so you can't. And they had lots of babies. Oh. So it was just, and some of the national parks, they even have leopards and sloths, not in the national park we went into. I basically did the bottom half of Sri Lanka, so up as far as the central highlands and the south, whereas we didn't do the north. But then it was only 8 days. And the same when you go to Tassie, people say, I'm going to go and do Tassie in a week. And I say, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
Tassie needs
do
at least
half of,
2 weeks.
Do one side.
Do
maybe
one
in a
side.
Week.
Well, you imagine trying to do that with Sri Lanka. You know, there's so much to see and do there. So it was a big eye opener for me, not having been to that country before, of course. And it was just delightful. And now they've got over 7,500 elephants on the island.
That's a lot of elephants.
That's probably more elephants than what we'd see in the Serengeti. Mm. 450 bird species, which is quite remarkable. Some of the most beautiful eagles, from sea eagles, and saw one in the forest. It had a spotted chest. It's beautiful. I've got a real close-up photo. I've still got to try and work out what sort of eagle it is. I haven't Googled that far yet. Magnificent-looking bird. And just wild peacocks roaming around in the forest, as well as your monkeys and everything else. So it just
sounds great.
Yeah. And the religion is mainly Buddhist. 70% would be Buddhist. Hindus about 12.5%, Muslims about 9%, and Christians about 7.4%.
The tourists?
the tourists. A few Christians there. They've got one little part of a town in Nagombo where we stay, which is a beach resort, which is actually Italy. A few Italians came out, and the whole town revolves around things Italian and Catholicism. Amazing. In this Buddhist country. So here's this one little village that's got pizza signs up on their things, and you're in Sri Lanka, you think, huh? And, you know, everything's got Italian names.
Did you try it?
No, we just were driving through. Yeah. So, but I just thought, wow, that was just quite an eye-opener as well. And the largest ethnic group there, they're the Sinhalese people, which is about 76%. And then you've got the Sri Lankan Tamils, which are mainly to the north, of course. And, of course, they did have conflict, as we probably remember, for about 30 years from the north and the south. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that happen in a lot of countries?
It does.
Korea, they have this north-south thing where... But, I mean, it's all fine now, obviously, and they really are depending on tourism as much as anything. And, of course, you have a few more. So a few of them had come down from the Middle East. Because when you think about it, you look at a globe, it's not that far from the Middle East at all. You think of India, well, it's just off the coast of India, and to the north of that, you've got the Middle East.
Yeah, okay. I'm not very good at geography, yeah. So you're and, looking at me like, oh, you know where
And the other strange last little bit of statistics I'll give you, they've got 1.5 million tuk-tuks there.
What?
I reckon there'd be more tuk-tuks than in Thailand or anywhere.
How many people did you say? 22 million and
one and a half million tuk-tuks.
Wow.
So that's the main way everyone gets around.
Oh, okay. So it's like their car.
Well, it's... For us, for tourists too, unless you're on a, if you're on a bus tour, that's something different. But if you were just travelling independently, you'd be, hailing a tuk-tuk.
It'd be cheaper though, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm. The rupees, yeah, like very, very, very cheap. And your food, everything like that once you're there, very reasonably priced. But it was just, got so much more to talk about.
Mm, a lot of fit people if they're using the tuk-tuks. Aren't they the ones with the bikes?
No, motorised.
Oh, okay.
No, they're motorised. They're like the posties. Yeah, sort of how the covered things, yes. The little things the posties ride now.
Yes.
But a little bit more power than those.
Okay.
But yeah, they're a three-wheeler covered with a little double seat in the back so it can take two people. And they've actually got I saw a couple of longer ones, so like a limo tuk-tuk.
Really? Wow.
Not really. But
no, okay.
but it could take four people, so it was a little bit longer, so I call it a limo tuk-tuk.
Don't tell me the things like that. I'll believe anything, Sal.
Yeah, I just thought I'd talk a little bit more about Sri Lanka. I could talk about it, I think, over the next few weeks, to be quite honest. And you've got to remember, too, it was been occupied by many people over the years, the Portuguese, the Dutch, the British, etc. So the Portuguese, though, when they first went there, they decided to try and build canals, which would help, obviously, to transport the spices and the goods. And that was actually finished off by the Brits, and they've got, like, about 125 kilometres now in length of canal, which is quite an engineering feat back in the day. Of course, the Portuguese the Dutch were there only from 1640 to 1796, and they were used by the Sinhalese to take revenge on the Portuguese. They didn't want the Portuguese there anymore, and eventually they exited, and that's when it became under Dutch rule. And then eventually, of course, the Brits came in as well. And up until then, it had actually been a coffee-growing nation.
Right.
So coffee plantations. But what happened, the coffee leaves were attacked by this incredible leaf disease, and it wiped out the whole of Sri Lanka's coffee plantations.
So what did they do then?
So then that's when they decided to plant tea and see if that would work instead.
Well, tea's the far superior drink,
as far as
I'm concerned.
Of course. And look, it is there too. It's all picked by women, of course, and they only pick. And some of them, we did a tea tasting. It was amazing how many different teas you can get. I mean, we get all the, I think I call them tweaked and tricked up teas now. They're not like real teas, a lot of them to me, perfumed and florally and all that. But when you go to Ceylon or Sri Lanka, of course I should be calling it, but I still think of it as Ceylon. Isn't that funny? But the tea tasting, you start with what they call a golden tip tea. Then there's a silver tip. Then there's a white tip. And then there's, you know, the normal black Sri Lankan tea. Then there's the green tea. Then, you know, and we go do a tasting, so you worked out which of the teas you liked.
Oh, I'd love a tea tasting.
Yeah, so that
I'd love
was,
one right now, actually.
Yeah, can we get someone to bring us in a few
tea,
teas?
Anyone?
Anyone out there? Ghostbusters. Anyhow, so that was wonderful to go and do that and get to understand. And, of course, it will never be mechanised because where the tea plantations are, they're right up in the highlands. So they can only, the tea leaves can only be picked by hand.
Right.
And the quality of tea you get there is not what you're always getting in the supermarket. Like here, I'm sure I haven't been to one for a while, but if you went to a designated tea shop where they sell the tea loose and package it up for you so you know what you're getting.
Mm.
So we actually went to a little tea shop in a town called Nuwara Eliya. And we had been to the tea plantation but then came down into the town. It was one of the ladies on our trip. Her partner had been previously there and said, oh, go to the little shop in town. because they said they sell it all and package it up for you there and then, and it works out less expensive because they're taking it bulk out of the...
Right.
And they just heat, do a heat zip thing on it, you know, so it doesn't look, it's not an attractive packet, but you can bring tea into the country. It's not an issue with Australia. It's not a product that you can't bring in. So we got a few different beautiful teas, you know, and that was just fantastic. I'm yet to open some of them and try them.
Feel free to bring them here and I'll help you sample them.
Will you? Okay. But some of them are quite expensive, like the gold tip tea. I'm just trying to think how much it was for a packet, a normal size packet of tea. It's probably around $15. Mm. It's just the finest little tips that are just, it's just so labour intensive. And the funny thing is you went to the tea factory and what you find out about at the end about tea bags, they're the dregs, that's what's left over after they've actually sorted and picked through all the tea leaves and doing process. So what we get in tea bags is...
So imagine
what's
how good
over.
A tea would taste if you weren't using the tea bags.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's interesting. I might have to go to Sri Lanka.
Well, you'd love it. But getting back, I've gone ahead of myself here. I'm up in the highlands, but I'm really still down on the coast, down where the canals are. But we did a little boat tour of an afternoon on one of the canals, and the proliferation of bird life was magnificent. We kept seeing Brahmani kites, grey-headed fish eagles, white egrets, tiny little blue kingfishers that were gorgeous, and these owls. And I'm an owl nut. I collect owls, little owls at home. I've got owl everything. And they were about, how tall would that be in your measurement I'm showing you?
That looks like about 3-4 inches maybe.
Yeah, or five. Maybe they were 5 inches roughly. That was the size of these owls, fully grown. I've never seen such a tiny owl. And they're called Oriental Scops owls. So we saw two of them just nesting in a tree, which is rare, and they just picked this tree. The boat driver knew that they'd been there for a few days so he could nudge in, and they didn't fly away. They didn't seem fussed by us being there. It was just amazing.
Maybe they're used to it.
Yeah, and anyway, they had also what they call red wattled lapwings, which are another water bird, and we saw a couple of huge water monitors in the water as well. So not snakes or anything, they were just water monitors, so don't panic.
Water monitor?
No crew. We have the land monitor.
I don't know what a monitor is.
A lizard.
Oh.
We have them.
I've never heard of it.
Hook up your funk and wagnal, girl.
Get the funk and wagnal.
Hook up your funk and wagnal. Oh, dear. This is a history lesson here and a biological lesson.
I don't know what a lizard is. I've never heard of it called a monitor.
Definitely.
There you go.
I've just learned
something new.
Yeah, and they're big.
Oh, okay.
Like goannas.
Right.
Yeah, they're big, huge.
Yes.
Okay. And so they have these water monitors. We have them too.
But are you talking about like a water dragon?
No. That's a bit different.
Okay. I've got to look these up.
They're only little.
Okay.
These are big.
You keep talking. I'll look it up.
Anyway, so we did that cruise, which was just wonderful. And we were at a beach resort there because the actual airport for Colombo isn't in Colombo itself. The newer airport obviously it's been moved, which is close to Negombo Beach, which is one of their beach resort areas. And that's where we stayed for our first couple of nights before we started heading north up to a place called Siguiria, which is where they have the famous rock fortress. And it's Siguiria Rock or the Rock Fortress. And that is a monolith like Uluru that's just out there in the middle of nowhere, this massive rock, a couple of hundred metres high. And it was established that one of the previous kings decided he wanted to build a palace on top of this rock. So you can climb it 1,200 steps. No, thank you. I let everyone else do that. No, I knew I couldn't have done it with my knees and everything.
Get a chairlift.
There were apparently platforms along the way where you could take a breather, but it's still a good 1.5 hours to get to the top. And he had it all set up, even had reservoirs there where he worked out a pump system to pump water up from the ground to the top of this rock to fill up the pools and everything he had there. It's all mainly in ruins now, but the pool reservoirs and everything are still on the top of this. It just blows your mind away. In the middle of nowhere is this massive monolith, and it's called the Lion Rock because to enter it, you walk in through a sculpture that's been sculpted out of the rock itself of a lion's head with its paws, so you're walking through its mouth.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, to get in and to start going up the stairs that are on the outside of the rock.
Oh, okay. So, there was rails that you can hold on to.
So some of the way, not all.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
not for the faint hearted.
Scared of heights.
No. You don't do it if you're scared of heights. No,
right.
Not at all.
Okay.
So well, that's, I think, I haven't gone very far today. That's right. I'm telling you, like, I'm going to be covering a lot of territory over the next couple of Fridays,
I think. Cover some more monitors. I just looked up a monitor. It looks like a giant goanna.
Yeah, it is virtually.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I just assumed that was a goanna.
No, apparently they are. I think they're two different varieties. I could be wrong. Maybe that's just two different names for the same beast, but
we'll investigate.
We'll investigate further. They might have a listener who's going to ring in and say, hey, I know what the difference is between a goanna and a monitor. Yeah. Anyway, these were water monitors. They weren't goannas and they were big.
Okay.
But that's but look, we'll talk more about the northern part, which we did spend more time in, which was a lovely part of Sri Lanka. In the days to come.
Okay.
It was just a fascinating country, as I've said to you before, with the most wonderful people. And if it hasn't been on your bucket list, it's not too far. It's about 11 hours flight. So it's like flying to Hawaii, roughly, similar distance. Mm. Sri Lankan Airlines were wonderful. I hadn't flown with them before. Again, welcoming. Some of the best landings I've had in my entire flight by any pilot life. The landings, they did slow approaches and they just touched down like it was a glove.
Wow.
Like none of these bounced landings or, you know, fast landings. So
I
was suitably impressed.
This is Talking Travel and we are talking hot deals. What have you got for us, Sal?
Okay, well, we have been talking Sri Lanka today, so I thought I can't let the day go by without throwing one of those in there just to titillate you and hopefully make you want to go. Now, this is a great one, actually. As I said, I only went for 8 days, but this is 17 days. So you're really going to experience Sri Lanka in depth, which would be absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's given me a taste and I'd certainly love to go back. So it's a 17-day including air, which is a great package when you've got that air included. You're not fighting to find the best airfare. So it's all done for you. And it's, as I said, 17 days with Bunnings. And Bunnings is an Australian company and most of their holiday packages include air, which is a good thing if you're liking that package deal. And you're always getting all your breakfasts, all your sightseeing. Tips are prepaid. We did the same on ours. Our guide collected at the beginning so much ahead, which was nothing really. It was so reasonable. And he just tipped everyone along the way that assisted in any shape or form, which was just great. And at the end of it all, he even sent us a list, established a WhatsApp for us all on the bus, and he sent us a list of exactly what he'd spent and tallied up. So he, you know, they were just so honest. Mm. I mean, Neela, if he's listening, he might not be listening live, but hopefully he might listen on podcast. I'm hoping I gave him all the details and told him I would be absolutely singing his praises and that of Sri Lanka's.
Oh,
so,
beautiful.
But this itinerary, as I said, is 17 days. So really, if you're interested in that, they've got departures, some left for this year and all throughout next year as well. And it's a great package if you really want to do Sri Lanka in depth. So that's called Sri Lankan Discovery. And while we're talking Bunnings too, I just thought I'd throw in a few others that they have, which I found were quite fascinating, is the highlights of South America. That's another really interesting itinerary where you're going into Lima, of course. You're going to Paracas, Machu Picchu, the Sacred Valley, Cusco, Iguazu Falls, Rio, Buenos Aires. You know, all those places you'd want to go to. It's 23 days and it's got some departures left toward October, November this year and also February, April and June next year. And again, with air included, that's a good one. And the stands, you know, I'd love to do this. I hear people that have done the five stands and I just think such an interesting history with Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan and Turkmenistan. So every photo I've seen, I look at some of the unique architecture with like all little mosaic coloured tiles. Like it just looks so beautiful and so different to any of the other architecture you see in Europe or anywhere else. And I think that would be, again, if you're looking for something different and you've done, you know, nearly everything else, I'd be doing the stands as well. These departures are April to October next year and that's 29 days. It's really doing it in depth. Again, with airfares included. And then another one I thought sounded interesting was a 23-day that goes from Cairo to Zanzibar.
Oh, lovely.
And you're taking in, obviously, all of the Kenya area, Nairobi, Shaba National Reserve, the Masai Mara, Lake Naivasha, Valley of the Kings, Luxor, Aswan, all in Egypt, doing that, the usual things there. And then you finish up in Zanzibar at the end. I thought, oh, I love the sound of that, Zanzibar.
It's a good name, isn't it?
It conjures up images, doesn't it?
It does.
Of something really exotic and which I'm sure it is. I haven't been there either, so I'm going to have to add more onto my bucket list.
Yeah, it's just getting longer and longer.
And also just to let you know, Coral Expeditions, our lovely little Australian pioneering cruise line, have got some cruises of Tasmania's Wilderness Coast, which, again, there's places you can't get to around Tassie because there's no roads to some of these areas. They've got a circumnavigation of Tassie, Hobart back to Hobart, of course, which is January and February next year. And that is just, you do some hiking. Got to be fairly fit because they do take you ashore and you're hiking some areas as well before you come back on board. So you just got to remember that to be relatively fit. And what about this one? If you're a real yachty fan and you love the Rolex Sydney Hobart Yacht Race, they're following the flotilla down the coast.
Oh, that'd be good.
Wouldn't that be good? So, yeah, so that's 26th of December, of course, when it sails. And then you finish up, obviously, down in the Cross Bass Strait in Hobart and you join in the festivities of the race presentations and New Year's Eve celebrations. And you disembark the vessel on January the 2nd. So you're getting New Year's Eve, you're getting to see the yacht race. Wow.
I mean, lovely. That's
really different. And they've got a couple of other itineraries as well down there. But again, these are purpose-built vessels. They're going into UNESCO World Heritage Areas again, which Tassie has many of. It just doesn't have the 22 million people.
No, that's right. A bit more room.
So, look, there's still lots of other good specials out there that I haven't mentioned, like the Christmas markets in Europe with Viking have still got some discounts available if you book by September. So, yeah, look, lots on offer, always as usual, and I'll be back next week with more on Sri Lanka.
And a big thank you to Rodney, who called up and said a monitor is a lizard and a goanna is a type of monitor. So I'm thinking it's like a bird, like a kookaburra is a type of bird, that kind of thing. So that's my understanding and hopefully that's correct and I'm sticking with it. So there.
So there.
Talking travel, we'll talk Sri Lanka again next week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.